The following reading is brought to you by the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, December 19th, 2024. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, City Receives $600,000 Grant for Sunnyside Park Project, by Drew Zimmerman. Bloomington. The City of Bloomington was among the numerous recipients of grant funding through the Open Space Land Acquisition and Development Program, a state initiative dedicated to helping communities develop new recreational opportunities. On Monday, Governor J.B. Pritzker announced more than $55 million to be awarded to 100 local park projects across the state. Through the OSLAD program, we're bringing that vision to life by awarding over $55.2 million to local park projects, expanding green spaces, and creating new recreational opportunities for all, Pritzker said in a news release. Bloomington is slated to receive $600,000, which will be committed to the Sunnyside Park Sustainability Initiative for a 12-acre green infrastructure park in West Bloomington that would serve as a regional destination for recreation and economic sustainability. Current designs for the project, which is a partnership between the city's Parks Department and the Bloomington Normal Water Reclamation District, would include a teaching amphitheater area, interpretive signing, prairie restoration, and planting of more than 400 trees. According to a news release from the City of Bloomington, the project is meant to educate the public on the importance of the interdependence between the natural world and human communities, while fostering appreciation for green infrastructure and sustainable practices. In September, the City Council adopted a resolution certifying the city would have eligible funds to complete the Sunnyside Park Sustainability Initiative within 3 years, so long as the OSLAD grant was awarded. The Water Reclamation District has committed to covering the difference between the $600,000 grant and the project's initial estimate of about $4.4 million. In addition to Bloomington, the Village of Cullom also received $600,000 courtesy of the OSLAD program. The Village of Spring Bay, meanwhile, received $168,500. A representative of Pigush Engineering, who serves as Cullom's village engineer, said the grant funding will be used to invest in the Cullom Community Park in Livingston County. Projects will include a new playground and swing set compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act, pavilion shade structures, and parking lot and sidewalk improvements. Spring Bay Mayor Dave Tilley said the OSLAD funding is earmarked for the purchase of a marina and adjoining properties to help expand Spring Bay Park in Woodford County. The hope would be to explore future grant opportunities to develop the area into a fishing and camping ground. The next local story is entitled, Committee to Look at Future of Animal Control Operation, by Steve Stein. Eureka. Woodford County created its own animal control program earlier this year under the auspices of the Sheriff's Department. The county is renting Merle and Michelle Bluniers' kennel facility in Eureka for the program, and the Bluniers also are being paid by the county to oversee the operation there. Their contract continues through 2026. Everything is going well out there. We have no issues at all with the Bluniers, but they probably don't want to do this forever, said Woodford County Board Chair Chuck Nagel. With that thought and others in mind, Nagel announced at the end of Tuesday's county board meeting that he wants to form an ad hoc committee of board members and elected county officials to determine the future of the county's animal control program. It appears there is some desire for us to have our own kennel facility, Nagel said. Of course, that would be a huge undertaking of time and planning, along with the expense. I foresee a minimum 2 years of fact-finding and research before the committee came to any conclusions. Nagel said he hopes to hear from those interested in joining the committee and to appoint committee members at the board's next meeting, January 16th. There were also a few bits of news regarding animal control at Tuesday's board meeting. Woodford County Sheriff Matt Smith, who serves as the animal control warden, said one full-time and two part-time kennel techs have been hired. These are new positions and will be paid $19.75 per hour plus benefits. According to the job description, kennel techs are responsible for feeding, cleaning, and taking care of animals and must be available for split shifts and holiday and weekend shifts. 28 dogs have been adopted since May, Smith said, including 8 from a hoarding situation. 17 dogs were at the kennel last week, with 2 expected to be adopted this week. There was a lengthy discussion at the November 19th board meeting about whether and how much the county should pay for repairs at the kennel. The board approved a not-to-exceed amount of $11,065 for repairs, which also was a topic of discussion at a December 9th Public Safety Committee meeting. Committee Chair Blake Parsons told the county board Tuesday that the committee decided to scale back the repairs and reduce the cost to $3,875. Also Tuesday, the board approved the purchase of a 1-ton truck for the highway department from low bidder Roanoke Ford for $126,920. The department will sell a 2012 diesel truck at a later date. The board also approved the purchase of a backhoe for the highway department from low bidder Berkey's Farm Store of Bloomington for $105,000, which includes the trade-in of a backhoe. They approved the purchase of 5 Ford Explorer police interceptor vehicles for the Sheriff's Department for a not-to-exceed price of $242,758 using state bids. The board approved the purchase of a used truck for the Sheriff's Department from Roanoke Motors for a not-to-exceed price of $40,000. They approved the granting of a permanent easement to Ameren at 301 South Main Street in Roanoke so the company can relocate its utility poles as part of a widening and resurfacing project of County Highway 13. The board approved the appointment of Darren Howlett to the Tri-County Regional Planning Commission's Human Services Transportation Plan Committee. Howlett is Director of Transportation for We Care. He'll serve the remainder of Troy Maxwell's term, which ends in August. Maxwell was We Care's Operations Director, but no longer is employed there. The board discussed hiring an in-house 5 days a week IT person at the courthouse. The county currently has a contract with Hart Technologies for 2 days a week IT coverage for $66,000. Earlier this month, about 100 repair tickets were open. And the board set its 2025 meeting schedule. The board will continue to meet at 6:30 p.m. on the third Tuesday of the month. The next story is headlined, Pontiac Property Tax Levy Surpasses $3 Million, by Drew Zimmerman. Pontiac. For the first time, the City of Pontiac's annual tax levy for general fund expenses will exceed $3 million. On Monday, the City Council adopted a resolution setting a levy of $3,071,062, roughly $2.9 million coming from special taxes and another $162,000 coming from general corporate taxes. The city also projects another $24.1 million in non-tax income to be budgeted in the 2025 fiscal year. The levy reflects a 3.4% increase over the 2023 tax year. In the two previous years, the city authorized 4.9% increases to its tax levies. What we'll probably see are expenses that are exceeding 3.4%, Pontiac Administrator Jim Wolford said Monday. However, like I said before, we made some savings in our liability insurance that will at least help us for the next couple of years. A little over a year ago, the City of Pontiac had liability insurance as an open market plan and levied about $730,000 for this coverage in 2023. However, the city recently switched to a group insurance plan through the Counties of Illinois Risk Management Agency, which allowed the city to save about $100,000 on its premium. The estimated tax rate is $1.92 for every $100 of assessed value, which is down from about $1.96 in the 2023 year. Under this estimate, the owner of a $300,000 home would have paid about $1,958 for the city's share of property taxes in the 2023 tax year, but would only pay around $1,923 in 2024 if the value of their property was unchanged. The owner of a $200,000 home would have paid about $1,305.33 for 2023 and $1,282.27, assuming the value of their property did not change. The levy experienced a few changes since it was first introduced during the council's December 2nd meeting. Streetlight repair estimates increased from about $10,000 to $40,000. Woodford said there had been a recent crash near Mill and Water Streets that not only knocked out a streetlight, but also caused significant damage to the nearby Stillwell building. The levy increase was added because the driver's insurance did not cover the entire cost of the damage, plus additional factors such as higher energy costs. Park maintenance was also adjusted from $72,400 to $100,000. Tax income for the city's recreation fund also increased from $103,000 to $150,000. Here is a story entitled, Heartland Celebrates Workforce Equity Initiative Students, by Matus Janik. Normal. With the fall semester coming to an end, Heartland Community College celebrated students completing certificate programs supported by the Workforce Equity Initiative. Around 50 students were recognized Tuesday at the Astroth Community Education Center on Heartland's campus for completing programs leading to certification for in-demand jobs. Heartland's WEI program is a signature program driving our mission to provide accessible, equitable, and innovative learning opportunities to our community, said Terrence Bond, Assistant to the President for Equity and Effectiveness, in a statement. The WEI team partners with community organizations and local businesses to engage underemployed or unemployed adult learners who may be cautious about higher education. While most of our WEI scholars complete a short-term certificate and return to the workforce, we are also excited when scholars continue their education, earning stackable credentials towards the associate degree. Students recognized this semester participated in programs including Certified Nursing Assistant, Phlebotomy, Electric Vehicle Technology, Welding, Computer Networking Support Specialist, HVAC, and Truck Driving. The Workforce Equity Initiative was established in 2019 as an innovative partnership with the Illinois Community College Board, the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus, and community colleges to create, support, and expand job training opportunities for areas with identified workforce skills gaps. Grant funding supports short-term training opportunities, career and technical education certificates, and stackable credentials at Heartland. The grant is also targeted toward African American and low-income learners to facilitate career training that can move recipients quickly into the workforce while providing tuition and services, including success coaching and career navigation support, technology support, transportation, and childcare needs. Since Heartland first received the grant from the Illinois Community College Board in 2022, more than 522 students have enrolled in WEI certificate programs at the college. WEI and other work-ready programs at Heartland benefit the entire community, said Heartland Community College President Keith Corneal in a statement. Since 2022, WEI has brought in an economic impact of over $4,600,000 to McLean County. But most importantly, this effort to break through the barriers that keep individuals from attaining education and workplace skills has changed lives for the better. Visit heartland.edu/WEI for more information on the Workforce Equity Initiative at Heartland Community College. And here's another story about Heartland, headlined, Heartland approves $37 million property tax levy. College increased levy by 10.49%. By Matus Janik. Normal. Heartland Community College increased its property tax levy by 10.49% from last year, and the tax rate and owners' tax bills are expected to increase slightly. The Heartland Board of Trustees on Tuesday approved a $37 million property tax levy for 2024, which is about $3 million more than the 2023 levy. The board held a public hearing on the levy proposal before the vote, as required by law, because the increase is over 5%. Three members of the public objected to the tax increase, with one questioning the college's bonds related to the Corn Crib Stadium. The 2024 levy for taxes payable in 2025 is expected to translate to a tax rate of $0.584 per $100 equalized assessed valuation, an increase of approximately $0.00176 per $100 EAV from last year. The 2024 estimated rate would mean Heartland's share of taxes on a $200,000 house, assuming no change in the house's taxable value, would be about $389.29, an increase of $1.55 from 2023 taxes payable in 2024. The board adopted an equity tax resolution in October, which allows Heartland to levy additional money to bring it in line with other community college districts throughout the state. The equity tax is projected to yield approximately $3.4 million in unrestricted funds for fiscal 2026, but that estimate is based on the current year's equity tax revenue. Noah Lamb, Vice President for Finance and Administration, said normally when the college sets the levy each year, it is set higher than what it thinks it actually will collect. The final determination of EAV, the total taxable value of property in the district, and the legal caps on various tax rates are among factors that will limit the final amount. The percentage of the EAV, whether it increases, decreases, or remains level, is not controlled by the college, Lamb said. In other business, the board approved funding about $1 million in protection, health, and safety projects, including road and sidewalk repairs, building repairs, automated external defibrillator replacements, pavement milling and resurfacing, masonry repairs, and the Workforce Development Center elevator rebuild. These projects will start no sooner than May 2025 and will take several months to complete, Lamb said. The money will come from the 2024 tax levy. The portion of the levy for the Protection, Health, and Safety Fund was cut almost in half, from $2 million to $1 million, mainly because of the cost and number of projects that have been completed recently or are already in progress. The board also approved emeritus designations for adjunct professors Ari Ariaratne and DeWitt Bingham. The next local story is headlined, Man from Normal Charged with 21 Felonies for Sex Crimes Against Children, by Caitlin Klepek. Bloomington. A man from Normal faces 21 felony offenses, accused of multiple sex crimes involving children in McLean County. Brady J. Stower, 23, is charged with 14 counts of criminal sexual assault of a minor between 13 and 17, Class 1 felonies, 4 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse of a person below the age of 18, Class 1 felonies, 2 counts of grooming, Class 4 felonies, 1 count for soliciting images depicting child sex abuse of a victim under the age of 18, a Class 1 felony. A McLean County grand jury returned a bill of indictment charging him Tuesday, and he was taken into custody later that day. Stower appeared in court Wednesday afternoon for an initial appearance before Judge Greg Minger. Assistant State's Attorney David Fitt filed a petition to detain the defendant on the grounds of dangerousness. A probable cause statement was not read in court, but Normal Police issued a statement Wednesday about their investigation that led to Stower's arrest. The department was notified June 16th of reported criminal sexual abuse incident involving a juvenile victim. Over the following days, additional juvenile victims were identified and interviewed by a trained forensic juvenile interviewer, Normal Police said. During the investigation, police identified Stowers as a suspect. At the time, he was employed at a local tumbling and cheer facility in Normal. Once evidence of a crime was verified, the owner of the facility immediately terminated the suspect's employment, Normal Police said. Before the case proceeded Wednesday, Stowers' attorney, Adam Grist of Bloomington, asked the judge for the detention hearing to be continued to a later time and date because he did not have enough time to look over all of the evidence in the case. Gris noted the case includes a significant amount of discovery with dozens of pages, which he said he received Wednesday morning. Additionally, Gris said the offenses allege multiple victims, date ranges, and types of offenses, with four separate police reports. Gris said because he will be in Livingston County for a different client Thursday, he would not be available until Friday. Fitz said he was prepared to proceed Wednesday and noted if the cases continued to Friday, Stower may exceed the 48-hour limit between initial appearance and detention hearing. Minger agreed to continue the hearing to 1 p.m. Friday, December 20th, to begin slightly before the regularly scheduled pretrial Fairness Act hearings, which start at 1:30 p.m. Until then, Stower will remain in the custody of the McLean County Sheriff's Office, pending his Friday detention hearing. The Normal Police Department is asking anyone who was or knows someone who was a victim related to this case to contact Detective Kendra DeRosa at 309-454-9624 or kderosa at normalil.gov. Here's an item entitled, ISU Recognized for Student Voting Engagement, by Brendan Denison. Normal. Illinois State University is being recognized for outstanding efforts to better nonpartisan student voter participation. The university has been recognized by the All In Campus Democracy Challenge as a 2024 Most Engaged Campus for College Student Voting. In a prepared statement, ISU President Andover Tarhule said the recognition aligns with the university's core values of community and civic engagement. Thanks to a strong action plan developed by the Center for Civic Engagement and the assistance of many campus units, we achieved record-breaking voter turnout numbers this election cycle, Tarhule said. A copy of the action plan was published online at allinchallenge.org. ISU stated through working with the campus community and under the direction of the Center for Civic Engagement Associate Director Paige Bushman, the university delivered key voter engagement information during the fall semester. Those efforts included registration support and ballot initiations at several presentations and tabling events. The Pantograph previously reported 3,589 early voters and 3,233 Election Day voters cast their ballots at the Bones Student Center's polling site. ISU stated these numbers represent record-breaking turnout for that polling location, which was open to all registered voters in McLean County. The All In Democracy Challenge recognized 471 colleges and universities across the U.S. this year, including Heartland Community College. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for December 19th. Please stay tuned.